So it's a little bit strange that Mashiach should be in a Masechta, which is Saita, which represents the opposite of Mashiach. First of all, Saita is talking about a woman who commits a sin. And second of all, spiritually, the Hashem and the Yidna are like husband and wife. So when we talk about Saita, if we talk about it more in a spiritual sense, it says it refers to Yidden who are also not being loyal to Hashem. So that's the opposite of Mashiach. So the Rebbe says in footnote 112 an amazing thing. Al pi ha'omer le'el, based on what it said before in the Sikha, ha'gu'ula ba'de is galus in yoni amiti shel galus. In the middle of the Sikha, one of the big points in the Sikha is that the galus and all its suffering, even though it's suffering and it's negative, that's only on the outside. Internally, its real purpose is ge'ula. And the more we bring that out, the more we talk about it, the more we study this, the more we're aware of this, that the inner purpose of the galus is ge'ula, that brings it out in an open way. So the Rebbe says, this will make it so amazing and special and sweet that simani ha'gula ain b'seif v'gemar b'sechta seita k'shurim ha'golus davke the b'sechta seita, which represents golus, you're not being loyal to Hashem, davke in that b'sechta you find the inyan of Mashiach. In fact, at the end of it, indicating that the ultimate goal and the ultimate purpose of the golus is Mashiach, and that's really hiding in it. This is very similar to what it says in Tanya, that everything that happens, the chas v'sholem, not good openly, is gamzul l'tayva. But the Alter Rebbe says an amazing thing, that the fact that we have to have a munah, that gamzul l'tayva, that even that which appears to be not good is really good, is not only because I have to believe in Hashem, I have to have an amunah, that goes without saying, but there's another point. The Alter Rebbe says, when I perceive that inside this negative thing, there's really hiding a very big bracha, the fact that I perceive it and believe it that way, that makes it come out in the open and happen actuality. And chas v'shalom, if a person denies that, in a way they're denying the hidden bracha to come out on the outside. When a person has something happen which is not toiv anir v'anigla, for example, they lose a penny, right? Something not good happened, okay? So, we know gamzul l'toivah. That means gamzul teva means that it's for a good reason. Apichsidus, what do we know? What does this mean? That even with something which happens, which is negative, really there's a hidden bracha here. But the bracha is hidden. And ultimately we'll see that bracha in an open way. Al Rebbe says in Tanya that what can I do to make the hidden bracha come out in the open? In other words, there is a bracha here, but it's hidden. What can I do to make it come out in the open? So the Al Rebbe says, this belief, this emunah, that I perceive that there's a hidden bracha here, that makes it come out on the open. And faket, if I deny that there's a hidden bracha, which means I don't accept it, or I'm crying because I don't want to accept it, that, in a sense, denies the hidden bracha from coming out on the outside. To give an example, I think he once told the story, it's a famous story of Mezritcha Magid. The Mezritcha Magid, when his son, the Malach, the Alter Rebbe's Chavrusa, was a very small child. He once came into the house and he was crying. And Mezritcha Magid said to him, why are you crying? And he said, he was playing a game, and the way they describe the game is very similar to the way children play today, the game called hide and go seek. So we're playing a game, all the children were hiding, including myself, and somebody else was supposed to go find us. And we're hiding and waiting for him to come around, and he doesn't show up. Finally, after a while, we all came out of our hiding places to see what happened. And we discovered that he played a trick on us. Which means we're in hiding, he's supposed to go look for us, he went away. I guess he went to eat lunch or something, and they're still hiding. The strange thing was, when he finished telling the Magid why he's crying, the Magid started to cry. And the Magid said that the Eibishter has the same complaint. He hides from us. What does hiding mean? When something is not good, the Gashmi Sobaruch. And the reason why he hides is because he wants us to go search for him and find him and say that we know that he's really in the hiding, it's really hidden bracha. And instead of going to find him, we say, ah, he's gone, and we disappear. We forget what the objective is. So, it's a very beautiful mashal, but let's use that mashal as an example. If a father, that's another mashal sometimes given, sometimes a father hides from his child because he wants to play with him. Or he wants to help develop his mind and his skills. So he hides somewhere and he wants the child to go find him. If the child is not smart, he starts crying because the father's hiding. If it's a smart child, he's laughing. He can't find him yet, but he's laughing and he's searching and he opens up the door here. He looks under the table, he looks in the closet and tries to find him. What happens when the child actually finds his father? What does the father do after that? Does he still remain in the hiding place? No. Because the objective has been achieved and he comes out of his hiding place. He doesn't stay there. The whole point was you should find me. Now that you found me, I can step out of my hiding place. The Eibishter hides from us because he wants us to discover that he's really there. So once we discover him, he comes out of the hiding place. So therefore it says in Tanya that the mere fact that I perceive and I believe and I see the good, and not I see what it is, but I know that there's good in this hidden bracha, that makes the hidden good come out in the open. In the same way here, when we look at galus, and we say that even though it's galus, but in reality it's really geula hidden in this, that alone causes the geula to come out. You know, we have this controversy, sometimes something happens in the world, there's an earthquake, chas v'shalom, or a volcano, and someone comes along and says, wow, it's amazing, there's so many earthquakes lately, so many volcanoes lately, so many floods lately, but it's consistent with what it says in the Medrash that before Mashiach comes, there'll be many earthquakes and many floods and many other natural disasters. So you have two kinds of reactions. One reaction is stop talking like that, chas v'shalom, don't, you know, support this and don't say that it's a good thing. Now no one's saying it's a good thing. What the person's saying is, when you see something like that, instead of seeing it only purely as a disaster, or sometimes even seeing this as a sign that we're far from Mashiach, the person is on the contrary. This is what it says will happen when Mashiach comes. In other words, really the blessing of Mashiach is hidden in this. So in this sikha, it appears to be saying that the mere fact that I interpret whatever happens as a connection to Mashiach, that itself makes it come out in an open way. So that's why Dafke, the subject of Mashiach, isn't in the Sefer Sefer.